Episode 211 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in for this episode with Julie Armstrong. Remember, new shows are posted every Monday and Thursday. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and on YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show: CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I had the great pleasure of speaking with Julie Armstrong, Executive Director, Head of Market Technology Services at CME Group. I had met Julie in person last year at FIA Boca and this year again at Bar Charts Startup Exchange Competition. I was really impressed with Julie and wanted to have her on the show to learn more about her backstory and what she is doing at CME Group as the head of market technology services. We kicked off today's chat with her very interesting and inspirational backstory. We then chatted about CME Data Services, CME Data Mine, alternative data, and Julie tells us how CME distributes data to customers. Finally, I asked Julie about CME's role in the platform business with execution, chat, and mobile. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, Julie. I remember when we first met, we were playing tennis. We got paired up, actually, in FIA Boca, and we went out on the court. It was you and I versus Drew Muck, I think, and we lost, but it wasn't because of you. It was because of me, and we had a nice, fun moment. I got to learn a little bit about what you're doing at CME, and then I actually had to spend some good time with you at the Startup Exchange recently over that Bar Chart was hosting, and I was just really impressed with you and everything that you're doing at CME Group, so it's really great to speak with you today, and I want to kick off today's conversation by learning more about your backstory, figuring out how you got into this position working with market technology at CME Group. So Julie, if you don't mind, take us back to the beginning. Talk us through your career a little bit. Where'd you go to school and how did you get involved working in market technology?
All right, great. Thanks, Anthony. So I probably have a bit of a non-traditional journey to get to the financial markets, to be honest. I'm originally from the good state of Kentucky, and so I went to the University of Kentucky, studied international economics and foreign languages, and minored in business. Started my career actually working at an oil company, interned there for a couple of years, and after school moved out to France for foreign language studies, then loved Europe so much, didn't want to leave, so ended up going over to Florence, Italy, taking some language courses there for the better part of a year, and then came back to finish up my university. So my parents were extremely thrilled that I took a year break to study abroad, but it ended up being probably one of the best years of my life. From there, I moved out west and worked for a large airplane manufacturer, actually, and did corporate cash management for a number of years. We were about 75 operating companies under five subsidiaries, and I did cash management to help us do a lot of the acquisitions. We actually traded commercial paper and things like that back in the day, so it was a really interesting role, but not necessarily keeping me that engaged. So I wanted to be a lot more involved with people on the day-to-day, took a bit of a sidestep, lived in Asia for a period of time Actually taught English to foreigners for a year while I explored what I wanted to do with starting my really kickstarting my career. And then I ended up in Chicago in 2002 when the market was a really interesting place. And I really wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I knew that I wanted to find an industry that was engaging with customers, that had a bit of technology flavor, that that I could also work internationally, because really drawing on my experiences living abroad, that was very important to me. And I lucked upon a company called Townsend Analytics, that was privately held at that point in time, and they were affiliated. They were a software company, an execution management software company, focused mostly in equities and equity options. And they were affiliated with companies like Wave Securities, Archipelago, if you remember, and Terra Nova. And I got my start there because they were looking for a European account manager, someone to come and help open up their London office. It was going to be based in Chicago, but open up their London office. And I thought, that is perfect. Now, the only problem I had was I didn't really know much about the financial landscape and the financial industry. And I thought, well, I do know people. I do know, I have business acumen from my corporate cash management experience. And I'd worked in service some years before as well. And I thought, well, I'm hoping I can apply that and, tell them and that I can learn the software bit of it and I can get up to speed very, very quickly. And that's what I did. And so that was my first job. Really in the financial industry, and that was in 02. And I learned, worked with just an incredible amount of people at that company. Was there for close to 9 years. The company went through a number of different structures. It was private for a while. Lehman Brothers came in and bought us in 05. And that was just another career starter for me because I was the Lehman Global Liaison with regards to the Realtek integration and working with their buy-side clients and, really developing product, working with our development team and Lehman's product team on, building Realtek as a really sophisticated institutional EMS. And so that was probably a huge highlight in my career from 05 and 08. And I think everyone on the radio, if you're listening to this, knows 08 wasn't a good year for the markets. It certainly wasn't a good year for Lehman. And but luckily, Realtek landed on its feet, and we were owned by Barclays for a period of time. But at that point, I'd been there almost 9 years. I'd run account management. I had run the Lehman relationship, and I had also started running sales and implementation management. And at that point, I thought, it's probably time for me to pick up and, move my career, to a different side of the industry. And I was really interested. I looked across the street, funnily enough, on Wacker Drive, and I would see CME Group every day. And was always very interested in what was going on, in that company and how someone like me could come in and make an impact. And so I started exploring that, and probably about a year after I did that, an opening came up with a role to launch our colocation business and perform a business development role, working with technology, contacts at, various customer segments, prop firms, hedge funds, banks, et cetera. And that was really my start into CME Group. And since I've been here for about seven and a half years, ran the business development, working under the colocation or working with the colocation management team to launch that our colocation offering in 2012. That evolved into 2015. I created alongside Craig Mohan of Market Technology and Data Services here at CME and started the first market technology sales group. And that group is comprised of colocation, market data and software sales, and then ultimately the business lines, combined in there along with our data services. But nonetheless, the first couple of years, I was very focused on creating that sales organization so that our customers could have, really one voice representing them within the company and also working with us on trends that were happening with regards to our software, our technology, our market data business, really helping them define what problems they were having or synergies they would like to see, and then working to help develop and business development structure that. And then about a year and a half ago, I was given the opportunity to take over Market Technology Services specifically, which is the business lines with regards to software, our co-location, and then my team still does business development and selling across our data business lines. So it's been a really, really amazing journey. I've been very lucky, but I would also say lucky meeting the right people along the way, but also very focused in, you know, what the opportunities were at hand, working very hard to try to get there. So that's a little bit about the last, I guess, 20 years.
Wow, I'm taking it all in. I mean, talk about experience. I really loved hearing your backstory, and I'm continued to be impressed with you. And we have a lot to talk about today when it comes to market technology. But first, I have to ask you, what was your favorite place to live? You lived in France, Italy, out west, Asia. What was it? What was your favorite?
Well, my heart really, I've always loved France. Being from a small town in Kentucky and then going over to France and seeing just how just rich the cities are in France, the countryside. I've always loved the art, loved the language. It inspired me, that language inspired me to get into foreign languages. So I would have to say France, but a big part of my heart also is in Oregon.
Yeah, and France just won the World Cup too, so hot spot right
now. Yeah, I should acknowledge that. I think I was the only person going for them in my circle, but I was very happy to see that win yesterday.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with you and market technology at CME Group. Can you talk through some of the latest business initiatives you are focused on at CME and why?
Yeah, I would love to. So, you know, to kind of tell you where we've been focused, it's probably good to start at one of our baseline products called CME Datamine. And CME Datamine has been around for a number of years. It's where CME Group host its historical collection of market data going back to like the 1970s. And, you know, that's really important for a number of reasons. You know, you can get end-of-day data, market depth data, number of time and sales data, number of data sources from there across all of our products, you know, like I said, going back decades. But where we really evolved the platform in the last couple of years, and I certainly cannot take all the credit for that. There's lots of team members, you know, Adam Monterey, Dave Gresky, Craig Mohan, that have had the vision and foresight around this platform to help build it out. But where we've taken it is it's now a web-based portal where customers can access Datamine online. And so they can call up their data that they'd like to see. So the reason, you know, folks do, you know, take a look at Datamine data is because they want to potentially test, you know, strategies out and use historical data, you know, to help do that in a new market that they may be foraying into. And so to be able to call up that data online, because we actually store the data, which is a nuance in the last couple of years, year and a half, in the cloud. And so where this is really revolutionary is that we used to get the data orders through the phone. I think we at one point like took PayPal and faxed paperwork back and forth between customers and had like one person really focused on, you know, sales, which, you know, is in the millions with regards to that business. And we really, you know, wanted to improve the customer experience. And so having them call it up on the web-based portal and be able to have data in a matter of minutes. You know, if they, you know, get through the paperwork and, you know, get their shopping cart, you know, full and make their decisions pretty quickly, was pretty revolutionary. Because what we used to also do is we would mail, so you'd call up this guy on the phone, you'd fill out your paperwork, you'd send your PayPal through, and then we'd ship you a hard drive maybe a week or two later containing all the data. So to have, like I said, now this most efficient way to store and deliver the data, you know, we're very proud of where we have come. You know, and what's really exciting about that as far as some of the latest initiatives is that we have launched an alternative data business. And by alternative, I do not mean radical. I just mean different. And so different from, you know, the norm, you know, market data sources. And so what we're seeing over the last, you know, couple of years are companies coming out with different types of data sources that are, you know, mapping to, you know, market movements or, you know, market products. And so what CME Group is very focused on is we want to work with products that are akin to our marketplace. So there's tons and tons of alternative data sources out there. They can apply, you know, to multiple, you know, verticals across the industries. You know, certainly some apply more on the equity side than, you know, the future side, depending on the product set. So what we try to do is go out and, you know, the sales team, the market technology sales team goes out and they look for specific data producers that have data sets that would be really relative to our market players. And the role we're trying to play is get those data sets into CME DataMine so that our, you know, very large distribution base of customers have a single portal to say, you know, these are potential data sets that we have done, you know, data science evaluation on and have found that, you know, there are good correlations to this data set and CME Group's data. Now, I will say that, you know, traders are responsible for their own trading strategies around that, but we do look at the data sets and make sure that there, you know, there are correlations. We've launched a couple that we've talked about now for a few months, Orbital Insight Energy, which provides access to global and regional crude oil volume estimates. And then we've also talked about TELUS Labs, which is a crop health index. And both of them are satellite-based companies that, you know, kind of help do predictive analytics, whether it be in oil storage capacity or, you know, plant conditions as it pertains to TELUS Labs. But, you know, we're really excited because our two most recent data sources that we are just announcing into DataMine is a company called RS Metrics, and they have a product called Metal Signals Copper, which provides data on satellite imagery-based trends and estimates of global copper production and storage. And, you know, that type of data can be found, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, year over year, you know, and gives estimations growth in raw materials as well as finished products stored, you know, outside approximately about 100 global copper smelters, I think is what they're called, and storage facilities. So very, very, you know, cool for our metals, you know, suite of products to take a look at. And then we've also been working with a company called Bantix. Some people may know Bantix because they provide the QuickStrike application and CME Group's front-end application, but they also, in DataMine, are going to provide access to QuickStrike end-of-day implied volatility curves for about 40 CME Group products via its QuickVol historical volatility tool. I know that's a mouthful, but basically these are new data sets that include both listed and constant maturity expiration curves, as well as realized historical volatility for all related futures products. So for folks focusing in, you know, options, it could be a really unique data set for them to take a look at. And so, you know, those are some things that we've been working on from an alternative data perspective for, I'd say, over a year now. We've been working on a baseline contract, getting DataMine ready, and understanding how we want to take on this business. But most importantly, we've been doing a ton of customer research to validate the direction that, you know, we had opted to take with the data producers and, you know, how CME Group could play a role.
So I'm taking some notes and taking all this in. So you have all these data sources, data services, CME DataMine, alternative data. But I'm curious, how do you distribute that data to customers?
So CME Group has, so I've been talking primarily on our alternative data sources and the historical. So on the historical front, we distribute, like I said, through the online portal and, you know, it's hosted in the cloud and folks can just call up cmegroup.com/datamine to find that. For our real-time services, we're looking, you know, we have our market data or MDP feed. The majority of customers will come over. But we're also exploring other alternatives for connectivity, such as software-defined networking, SDN for short, which is technology. It's basically a technology approach to cloud computing, which facilitates basically a layer of network management and enables programmatically efficient network configurations to basically improve customer network performance and monitoring and receiving data. And so we're piloting this with a company right now out of London. Well, the company is actually based in Australia called Megaport, but the first pilot we're looking at is leveraging an SDN network in London. So if customers are interested in that, We're kind of seeing directionally where that will take us. We're looking at pockets to expand some of that research, maybe in Asia. And then additionally, you know, we did launch in our colocation offering, which is another point of connectivity for our customers to reach us to get to procure market data as well as do order routing. But we also launched a point of presence into Google for customers to be able to go into Google, into Google Cloud and connect that way. So we are looking at a number of ways. We've had points of presence all over the world in our global hubs for years now. The cloud, you know, access points that we're providing for our customers, the SDN network. As I said, a lot of these are in research mode. So we'd love to hear from customers of what they think and direction where they think we should go.
How much interaction are you having with customers?
From my team's perspective, I mean, I would say CME Group as a whole is one thing I'm very proud of, you know, working here. Is I would say that most people would tell you that we're very, very customer-centric here at CME Group. We make a point to get in front of our customers for hundreds of reasons because we're always trying to validate, you know, our various products, I think, on the trading side as well as on the technology side. But I would say as far as market technology services goes, we are highly focused on it. We are always out there validating, you know, different distribution mechanisms that we're exploring. We're always looking and exploring or validating data sets that we're looking at. And we're asking customers, you know, on, you know, platform side of things, et cetera, you know, functionality requirements and needs. It's hard to probably satisfy all of the requests that we have and to do a lot or do everything on, you know, the customer validation and research that we have in the market data areas. But we sure do try to prioritize that based on, you know, priorities, you know, across segments and on a global reach perspective as well.
Yeah, you just mentioned platforms, and I know CME's got execution, chat, and mobile platforms. And since we've spoken about market data and CME's role, what about the role CME is playing in the platform business?
Yeah, that's a great question, Anthony. You know, I'll say, so CME has our own proprietary software, but I do want to say we also have, you know, open access where we work with a number of ISVs all over the world that give access to our markets. And so I want to acknowledge, you know, the real true relationship and good relationship we have with those folks and, you know, on a global scale. But from CME's perspective, we do have our own execution management system called CME Direct. And CME Direct will get customers to our futures, options, and blocks capabilities. We do have a chat platform, and we are focusing on getting both of those platforms mobile, which is extremely important to a lot of the customers and, you know, is extremely important to us from a data distribution perspective as well to go mobile because we can reach far corners of the universe. And then from an order routing perspective as well. So, you know, I would say that we have a very focused platform strategy with regards to engaging customers specifically on CME Group markets. I want to say that we do limit our strategy to, you know, customers accessing our markets. And then, you know, we continue to work with the ISVs as they offer platforms to reach us and then other areas in the marketplace as well.
What can I say, Julie? Great insight, giving us a look inside what's going on at Market Technology Services at CME. But we're not done yet. I have some rapid-fire questions if you're ready for those.
I'm ready.
All right, everyone. Our rapid-fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Julie, first question, who has influenced your life the most and why?
Gosh, you could give a lot of answers to that, right? But I would say the one that sticks out when it pertains to career perspective is my first boss. Her name was Linda Elam at Valvoline in Lexington a long, long time ago. Because she gave me a foundation for the kind of person that I wanted to be at work. And she was just a great role model helping me kind of settle in and transition from a college student into the professional world. So I always kind of go back, you know, on those years when I think about, you know, best career advice or influence, I guess.
You shared with us today your amazing journey throughout your career. What is the most difficult thing that you've had to overcome in your career?
Very hard question. But I think if I had to say, it would be learning a work-life balance as a working mom. I have two young boys, 9 and 5, and you know, I absolutely am engaged on a day-to-day basis with them, and they're my priority. But I love to work, and I love what I do every day, and feel like I have a huge sense of responsibility, you know, coming in to CME or any job I've ever had. But that's a hard balance. So just got to keep my priorities straight and realize I can't do it all. I can do it all and have it all. I just can't do it all in the same hour and the same day sometimes, even though I sure do give it a try.
Well, what's the number one resource you spend your time on?
You know, I read a lot of trades media, and there's a lot of them out there, like Markets Media. You know, the Wall Street Journal is very easy to pick up and go to. But I think what I'm always looking at are the trades media, because I want to know specific trends that are happening with regards to, you know, financial technology and, you know, how my peers and how my customers and things are reacting. So I would say I really look more to the trades media side of the trades media side of things.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Hands down, Billions.
What's the best piece of career advice you've received?
You know, I would say I'd love to give everybody a list, but, you know, my number one, and I hope my team, you know, knows that I try to do this every day, is be fearless. Be fearless when it comes to making decisions that are right for the business. So I would share that with everyone.
Now, if you can give advice to the new people interested in getting involved in market technology, what would it be?
You know, I would tell them, come in with a love of technology. I would say read up on the crypto landscape. I would highly recommend looking at artificial intelligence use cases, so AI, and know coming in what the benefits of leveraging cloud and connectivity such as that first off.
Last question for today. If you weren't involved with market technology, you'd be doing what?
If I weren't involved in market technology, I'd like to be a writer.
Nice. Well, Julie, this was awesome. It was great to meet you in person, play tennis with you, sit down and chat with you at Startup Exchange and learn a lot more about you today. And like I said, I'm impressed by you and the work you're doing. Thank you so much for giving us insight on what's happening at Market Technology Services at CME Group. Where can people find you on social media, and give us a website?
They can find me on, CME Group has a lot of angles for social media, so I'll pop up there. Or the tech talks that my team throws can also be found there. They can find information on Market Technology Services at cmegroup.com/market tech.
All right, everybody, if you're interested in learning more about Market Technology Services at CME Group, that's the place to go and check it out. Julie, thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today.
Anthony, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.